which will span for a little while. And when Jesus, after he came and brought salvation to people, the very next thing that happens is he summons and beckons us to follow him. Follow him. And that's going to be the next leg of our journey in equipping believers. Once Christ saves, he summons us. He summons us to follow him. Now, I just want to quickly touch, before we go any further on this, on the words "follow me." Sometimes people sort of like hear about Christianity, Jesus, and, you know, follow him. And sometimes it's often perceived that those words are cruel, dictating words, like "follow me." It's like we almost visualize it like a parent scolding a child that's been out of line. That's like, you follow me. And it's often perceived like that. But I just want to ask the question tonight, is the words Jesus says to everybody that comes to him and makes the decision to follow him, are the words "follow me" cruel, dictating words, or are they actually beautiful, loving, hopeful words? And I'll just bring a bit of perspective to it for us tonight. If you've got a Bible, you can open to Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Now understand, before Jesus Christ draws us to himself, before the Father draws us to Jesus Christ, and we come to a point where we cry out to Jesus Christ, we are on what the Bible records in Matthew 7, 13, 14, as a broad way. It's a wide gate and a broad way. And there are many people that walk on this broad way. And it says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way which leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the path which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So we think about this for a moment. We are on a broad way where we don't need any help to make our own decisions. I mean, it's a broad way. It is a cruisy path. It is an easy path. We do not need help on a broad way. When you are not living for Jesus Christ, you don't need help. You can do whatever you want. Life falls according to you. It falls according to however you want it to fall, whatever you want to do. And then it says, when Jesus becomes real to us and alive to us, we get taken off a broad path, and then we get put at the foot of Mount Everest. A place the Bible records is a path which is narrow and is difficult. But don't be dismayed, because what happens? Well, it says that when that happens, there's a guy that's standing at the foot of the mountain, the foot of the narrow and the difficult path. He's holding a sign with your name on it, stretching out his hand and calling you to follow him. I mean, I would dare say tonight that if Jesus Christ wasn't calling us to follow him, we wouldn't even find the narrow path. There are few who find it. Friends, when we're taken off the broad to the narrow, the words "follow me" are the most loving words ever. I mean, you imagine if you got stuck at the foot of Mount Everest and there was a guide there with you saying, "Here I am." To look at it from the outside to be like, whoa, but to know there's a guy that says, "Follow me." I think the words "follow me" aren't cruel and dictating. I think they are the most beautiful, hopeful, loving words ever. Follow me. Follow me. So I want to do an overview tonight of a lot of stuff, which we will investigate more and more as we come in the upcoming weeks. But I want to do an overview of "follow me" tonight. To follow Jesus, firstly, to follow Jesus is to join him in what he came to do. To follow Jesus is to join him in what he came to do. You might want to open up to John 11, particularly the verses we'll be looking at, verses 51 and 52. To follow Jesus is to join Jesus in what he came to do. Now, a little while ago, Lee and I went away before we had baby Hudson, and we were having some time away, and when we were away, it rained the whole time we were away, and so I did a lot of reading, but at one stage we flicked on the TV just to try and get some reports on news and what was happening, and what came up on the news was this report on a protest march that had happened over in Europe. And it was, I found it quite amusing, because in this protest march, obviously the protests, people all had bandanas around their face, and it got quite violent. And so the police grabbed one of these people that was wearing a bandana and started carting her away. And they're filming this, and she says, "What are you doing? I wasn't doing anything. I was just covering my face." And I thought about that, and I thought it was quite amusing, because I thought, you know, you come to a protest, you put a bandana around your face, and people cart you away, and you're asking yourself, why? I mean, think about it. You go to the protest. You go to follow in the protest. You put the bandana around your face. Naturally, if you go, the police are seeing everyone and not going, oh, they're here to protest. No, they're just here to just march nicely. No, they look, and if you came and you're following, you are joining in on what they came to do. And understand, friends, when we follow Jesus Christ to go, yes, I want to follow Jesus, say, yes, I want to join you in what you came to do. The only problem with that is it doesn't help us if we don't know what he came to do. A lot of people, it's like, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. And that's a brilliant thing. And I would encourage people when they say that to go, awesome. So what are you going to follow him in? Because he did come with a purpose, friends. He had a purpose and a plan. He talks about it a little bit in John 11, 51, 52. It's a prophecy of one of the high priests. And it says, we know that Jesus Christ came to gather all the children of God together who are scattered abroad. Why did Jesus come? Well, firstly, I can tell you, he came to gather together all the children of God that were scattered abroad across the world. That's why he came. John 12, 27, 28. I'm going to skim over a few verses here, which we will come back to in the upcoming weeks. John 12, 27, 28. Jesus says, for this purpose I came, Father, glorify your name. Why did Jesus come? Well, he came to bring glory to God. He came to gather the children of God who were scattered abroad throughout the whole world. Why else did he come? Luke 19:10 says Jesus Christ came to seek and save those who were lost, that which was lost. Luke 5:32 says Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. These are all things Jesus came to do. That if we're a follower of Jesus, we are actually joining him in this. John 10:10 saying that he came to bring life to people who are dead spiritually. He came to bring life and life more abundantly, a more joyful life, a better life. Mark 10:45 says Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. These are all things Jesus came to do. And when we go, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, what we are doing is joining him in the things he came to do. So to say, Jesus, I want to follow you is putting hand up, volunteering, Lord, I want to go and gather the children of God scattered abroad. Father, I want to go and call people that are away from you to repentance, back into line with you. I want to seek and save those who are lost. I want to go and bring life to people and life and a better life at that, a more joyful life. I want to give my life a ransom for many. The thing we have to understand in following Jesus is there is no such thing as neutral followers of Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as a neutral follower. There isn't. We either gather to him or we scatter from him. Luke 11:23, Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather to me scatters. Friends, when we join Jesus Christ, we join him in what he came to do. There is no such thing as a neutral follower. You can't go, yeah, it's like you can't be in the march and just go, I just came. No. If you are a follower, then you will be gathering or you will be scattering. It's one or the other. And friends, when we follow Jesus, we came to join him in the greatest plan that God had for the world. We've come to join him in that. I'm excited about that. We need to know what it is we're joining him in and realize if you're joining him, you're joining him. There are no neutral followers. We're either going to gather or we're going to scatter. It's one or the other. Next thing, if we're going to follow Jesus, to follow Jesus means we need to come after Jesus. I'm going to open up to Matthew 16, 21. Now, this is possibly known as one of the harsh teachings in the Gospels. It's the one about take up your cross, deny yourself. That's the one. It's known as a very harsh teaching. People look at it and go, well, man, that's full on. I mean, Jesus up in people's face when he said that. But have you ever wondered what it was that led to it? I mean, did you ever have like a stern word from your parents when you were growing up? Your parents came and they give you a stern word And you think if that happens, there's something which leads to the stern word, right? It's not like they just came for no reason and like looked at you and were like, Ali, you come over here. There's premise. I mean, if that happens and stern words are coming, there's a reason that they're coming. They just come for no reason. And I often look at this and we look at this passage like, wow. And I was often intrigued on where it is it came from. I mean, so why does Jesus come out with this massive passage of teaching? Why is he so upfront? Why does he just lay it out there? What is it that leads to this? What is it which led to him bringing this word? Matthew 16, 21. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples. We're talking about his disciples now. At this point in time, Jesus has been, he's been in ministry for, we don't exactly know what point in time, but a period of time. And he's had people that have been following him, 12 especially, closest disciples that have been following him for some time now. When he comes up to them and said, and Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. That doesn't work for me. I don't think that's a good idea. That doesn't sit right. Far be it from you to do such a thing. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me. Behind's a big word. You might want to underline that or highlight that. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus brings this teaching and says, if anyone wants to come after me, this is how it's going to look. Okay? So we're here. This is what leads to Jesus. He says, if anyone's going to come after me, he's going to have to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What is it which leads to this massive passage of Jesus laying out what it looks like if you want to follow him? It leads to a guy that's been following Jesus. It comes from a guy who's been following Jesus for some time. And after following Jesus for some time, Jesus comes out and makes a declaration that just doesn't sit right with Peter. And so Peter thinks that he knows better than God, evidently. And comes out and says, no, that doesn't work for me. This is how it's going to look. And what is the very first thing Jesus says to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Peter, you've been following me for some time now. For some reason, this point in time, you've come to a place where you've stepped out in front of me, and the spirit of Satan, the spirit of pride, arrogance, I can be like God, I can do this, has got into you. If you want to follow me, you're going to need to get behind me. And you hear what he says? He says, if you are in front of me, you are not mindful of the things of God. Understand, I'll just do a quick analogy. I might get caught just for a moment, sweetie. If you can just come up just quickly, stand in front of me, back towards me, facing everybody else. Don't be too intimidated. Okay, just face them. Don't look at me. Now, follow me in what I'm doing. I don't need to do it much longer. Thanks, sweetie. You can sit down. Understand, it is impossible to be about the things of God when you are in front of God. You know, the whole problem which comes out of this, and I believe comes for many Christians, isn't that when we first come to Jesus, we think we know better. No, in fact, most of the time, when people come to Jesus, they're very humbled. They're like, whatever, Jesus, you say, I'm there. Whatever you say, you know. But it says after a period of time, one of these guys that's following Jesus thinks he knows better. It's incredible how when we're around Jesus for quite a long time, we can get familiar with him and hear things that the Bible says and actually think that we know better. Or it doesn't really mean that. No, it means this. And I believe if Jesus was here tonight, words he might very well speak, maybe to me, maybe to you, would be, get behind me, Satan. The spirit of Satan's got into you, and you're not actually mindful of the things of God anymore. You are mindful of the things of man because you have placed yourself in front of me. You're walking in front of me. And here's the deal. If we're walking in front of Jesus, it's pretty hard to follow him and know what it is we're meant to do, where we're going places, because we can't see him. We just end up doing whatever it is we think works best. We make our own conclusions. We come up with our own ideas and we run with them. But understand, if we want to follow Jesus Christ, just a couple of basic points is firstly, that we're going to join him in what he came to do. And secondly, we have to come after him. You cannot say, I'm living for Jesus Christ and not be looking at Jesus Christ. You cannot be walking in front of him. And now another good question to ask ourselves is, am I mindful of the things of God? Because that's the next thing he says. He says, if you're not walking behind me, you'll be mindful of the things of man. But if you're walking behind me, you'll be mindful of the things of God. You know, how mindful am I, how mindful are you of the things of God when it comes to your lives? I mean, when it comes to what it is you do with your time, to what it is you do while you're working or studying, are we mindful of the things of God in those times? Or are we just mindful of the things of us? And you can take this to any degree, time, talent, gift, money, as far as you want to go. If I am not mindful of the things of God in an area in my life, then maybe I am not following Jesus. Maybe I've actually put myself in front of him. And I'll adapt the things that I like to my life, but the other things, far be it from you, Lord. No, this is how it's going to look. Because that is what leads Jesus to this teaching. Jesus says, okay, get behind me, firstly. What's the hope for you? Get behind me. The hope for you is to be behind me. Now let me tell you plainly and clearly how it's going to work. If you want to come after me, that's big there, come after, okay, that would mean I'm behind, then you're going to need to deny yourself. You're going to need to put what you think aside. You're going to need to, in fact, die to yourself. You're going to need to take up your cross. You're going to need to lose your life, and you're going to need to follow me, looking at me, if there's ever going to be any hope in you joining me in what I came to do. And you know, when we look at that, that's sometimes a daunting thing. You know, you look at that and kind of, I know often I look at Christianity and I read, because I read my Bible a lot. I love my Bible and I read it. And sometimes Christianity just feels quite literally like you're standing at the foot of Mount Everest. It's like, oh my gosh, how the heck? And you read these things that it says Christians do. Love your enemies. Do good to those that persecute you. You read that everything else compared to Jesus we should hate in comparison. I mean, it shouldn't even come close to him. We should gladly lay aside all of our things to follow him and use everything we have to follow him. I don't know if you ever read those things, you get a little bit daunted, like you start having second thoughts. I do. I read scripture sometimes and I'm like, whoa, I don't know if I can. You know, we get taken off the broad path, which is really easy, to a narrow path, and it's really daunting. You're like, man, I don't know if I can. Far out. And what's the hope for us in that? Okay, where's the hope for us in that moment where it's like, okay, this is what it says it looks like to follow him, and woof, man, it looks really big and I'm feeling really small and I don't really, how in the world am I ever going to follow this guy? I mean, look at his life. He lays it out for people. He loves people. He's compassionate. He gives of himself. He comes about others, not about himself. He's about God's glory. He's about other people's joy, knowing that it leads to his own. And you think, man, I don't know. And sometimes I think in following Jesus, you know, like I said, firstly, when we follow Jesus, it's about joining him in what he came to do. And when we see what he came to do, it could be daunting. Second thing, it's coming after him. That's daunting. To put myself behind and follow, that's a big thought. That's a big idea. That's scary. And what is our hope in following him? I'll tell you where I find hope. In fact, I find a lot of hope. I get real happy in this moment when I look at this. Just open up to Mark 1, verse 17. You know where I find hope in following Jesus? When I look at the Mount Everest and the narrow and the difficult path, I find hope in the words that follow the call, follow me. You gotta look at it, it's so cool. It's so cool. Jesus calls out to his disciples and he says, follow me. And what does he follow up with? And I will make you fishers of men. You know what brings me hope in the follow call? The fact that if I'm going to follow him, then he will make me. And I'm not talking about a UFC armbar make you. I'm talking about he will literally remake you. He will remake you if you follow him. He says, follow me and I'll make you. Some cool scriptures. Jeremiah 18:6 is one. It's so cool. Another one to write down is Isaiah 64 verse 8. 64 verse 8, it says, for you are our Father, And we are the clay. You are the potter. Jeremiah, it says, for we are the clay and you are the potter. And God says, and you are in my hand. I just think it's brilliant. I think that the whole purpose in following Jesus was never about to come under and like, man, I've got to make myself do all this stuff. It was to look at him and allow him to remake your life. It was to allow him to remodel you, remembering how the Bible describes us. It describes us as clay, piece of clay. And he is the potter. And that means he wants to make us. And no matter what shape it is you've maybe come in, no matter what shape you might be right now, you go, man, this shape, this just isn't going to work. I mean, I'm looking at a circle and I'm like a rectangle. I am never getting through there. The wonder of the potter is the potter says, no, no, no. It's okay. When I call you to follow me, I promise that I'll make you fishers of men. I promise that I'll make you. I will make you. Make you into everything I've called you to be. The most wonderful, loving God in the world that doesn't call us and says, here it is, now go, give it your best. He says, here it is, now come and just look at me for a moment. Just open up to 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'll close on this verse tonight. He comes and he calls us to follow him. He beckons out to us to join him in what he came to do. Come after him. He stands at the foot of Mount Everest with a little sign with your name on it, a little sign with my name on it. He holds out his hand and beckons and says, follow me. Come and follow me. And what's the promise? I will make you. I will make you. You come to me, you little piece of clay. I will make you. I will remake you from whatever bent, out of shape place, piece you might be in. Into what I've called you to do, because that's the beautiful thing about God. You see, the call of God, what God calls us to be, the call actually determines the outcome. When he calls us to be it, it's the call that makes us become it. It's not like he calls and we have to do it. No, he calls and his call actually enables. I mean, think about Lazarus dead in the tomb. Lazarus dead in the tomb, he comes and he calls Lazarus and it's the call that leads Lazarus out of the tomb. He doesn't call, Lazarus doesn't rise. The call actually, in effect, is the very thing that makes us into those that follow Christ. So I guess how I'm trying to say that and simplify it tonight is if you feel that God's calling you, then be rest assured that if he's calling you, if you look at him and behold him, he will make you into what he called you to be. If he called you to be it, he'll make you into it. And that's the promise of God. I read you this verse out of 2 Corinthians. I just think it's so beautiful. I don't know if you've ever heard a guy describe words in a book as beautiful before. I think these words are absolutely beautiful. And I think this just sums up everything we're trying to say. So to follow Jesus is to join him in what he came to do. And we're going to break that down in the upcoming weeks and what that looks like and really hone in and equip ourselves on what it is we're joining him in doing. Because I think for a lot of us, we're saying, yeah, I'm following him, but we're just this person walking in a crowd. We don't exactly know what it is we're doing. And it doesn't help us if we don't know what we're doing. We need to know what it is we're joining him to do. We need to know that to follow him means to come after him. And what's the hope in following him? That he will make us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That whole passage, you can read through it all in context, talking about the glory of the new covenant, the wonder of Jesus Christ coming. And it says that if we, when Christ comes, as we behold Jesus Christ, understand, how do we behold him? We have to be behind him to behold him. You're never going to behold him in front of him. You have to be behind him to behold him. As we behold him, it says we are transformed, aka we are molded and made into the image of Christ. Molded and made into the image of Christ. As we follow, we behold. As we behold little bits of clay, we're molded into the image of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that molding, I don't know if you've ever done clay work, but to mold something, it's a process. It takes time to mold things. Sometimes there's bits you really need to work out. But if God called you, I promise you that the call will actually be the very thing which makes you. If he called you, then he'll make you. He'll make you into what he's called you to be, to follow him. In conclusion, how do we follow Jesus? We join him in what he came to do. We come after him. And as we behold him, we are transformed into his image. And he makes us into the people that he has called us to be. As we behold him. If we are not being made into his image, I would propose tonight that we are walking in front of him. And very well, if Jesus was here tonight, the words he might speak to me or to you would be, "Get behind me." The spirit of Satan's come into you where you just think you can do it on your own, but you need to get behind me. The hope for you to be made into me is to get behind me. If you want to follow me, you got to come after me. You have got to come after me. If you're ever going to join me in what I came to do, you have got to come after me. And in beholding me, I will change you and transform you into what I called you to be. Can we bow our heads, close our eyes as we finish? Heavenly Father, it is such a wondrous thing to be here tonight. I'm so glad I can be here, Father, that I'm alive today. And I'm here tonight, and I got to share your words with these people that you've brought into this place and you've entrusted to us, Father. I thank you that we look after the people that come here well, Father. We shepherd the flock well. We look after people, Lord, that you find us faithful. I'm so excited to be here sharing your words tonight, God. And Lord, I pray tonight as these words have gone out, Father, that they would pierce into the hearts and spirits of every person here. Father, I thank you they would not fall on deaf ears, Father, but you would give people eyes to see and ears to hear tonight. You would open the hearts, Father. You would have prepared tonight as you led people in good ground for this word to fall on, to take root, to grow and to bear fruit. Father, we came to follow you in this world, to live for you. We've come to lift your name up that Jesus' fame would spread across our world. We are not here to take up space. And Father, we do not even know how long we'll be here for. So help us live today for you and not wait till tomorrow. Help us, Lord, to follow Jesus Christ. And as we continue in this series, Father, I thank you bring real things to help equip us to be able to follow Jesus in what it is we're here to do. And just with every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't individually know everyone here tonight, but I could almost guarantee if you are here tonight, firstly, I can promise you one thing. You're here because God drew you in. You didn't have a witty idea. Think, I'll just come to church. It's not because your friend invited you. God drew you in tonight. And if you're here, you're here with somebody. And if you're not here with somebody, I'm here. And if you're here, and inside of you right now, God is becoming more real and alive than he ever has before. And you've maybe been in a place where you don't know about God and Jesus and what's real or not, but right now in this moment, Jesus Christ, and not because I'm toying with your emotions, but for some reason, Jesus Christ is just ringing out very real. And what I would encourage you to do is to talk with the friend you came and say, "Man, tonight, Jesus, you know, maybe you've been coming into church for years. It doesn't mean that you have a relationship with Jesus and that you are saved. Is he alive to you? Is he changing your life? Is he working in and through you?" If in this moment he's coming alive, I'd encourage you to talk to your friends, say, "Man, that's me. What he was saying, I feel that's me." They'll talk with you. I mean, we've been talking about salvation the last 8 weeks. They know some stuff. They'll be able to help you. They'll pray with you. They'll tell you where this journey begins and the journey where it is that leads us. And if you're not here with anyone, please come and see me. Desire us to be as we follow you. We thank you for it and bless you in Jesus' name.